My name's Rachel Fahim. I am an Aussie country artist. So I guess I didn't really start in the country scene. I started out in a bit more of the pop covers scene when I was growing up. And yeah, I kind of just fell into country when I was about 14, 15 years old. So the rest is history.
Wow. So how did you fall into that when you were 14, 15 years old? Like, where did even music start for you? Like, how does...
When I was about 8 years old, I started singing and I was doing talent quests and I was doing, I don't know, a whole bunch of live performances all around Sydney where I live. And it was really funny because everywhere I went, people would always say, "Oh, you sound so country. Your voice is so country." And I was always like, "No, I don't want to do country. Like, why are you saying that?"
Like, the dirty C word.
Yeah. I was very anti-country, which is really funny now because it's all I listen to. But I decided that one day I was going to listen to some people that were constantly telling me to sing a country song at one of the talent quests I was doing. And I ended up winning that talent quest, and it was the first one that I'd won, like, of this series. I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." So I did a bit more research and I found a few more country artists that I liked, because at that point I was still being introduced to a whole, like, the whole world of country, really. I started off with Leanne Rimes and, like, Carrie Underwood and all of those types of strong female artists that are amazing. I kept on with the country theme and I ended up just not going away from it, like, sticking with it.
Yeah, it just stuck.
So, yeah, it did. Yeah. But it was great because I think without the people that were saying your voice is really country, I don't think I would have actually done it myself and, like, delved in.
Yeah. Okay. And what was it about music that, you know, that's made you go, because there's a big difference between being a kid and just enjoying music, because, like, a lot of people do music in high school. Then there's, like, the us crazy ones who go, "No, I want to do this for the rest of my life and make a career out of this." What was that journey like for you? Was it a decision or was it just something that you were always going to do?
I think it's just been something that has kind of been a no-brainer for me. I'm sure you can understand that when it's in your blood, you can't really, it's not really a decision. Like, you just do it. Like, you know, I've had backup plans in the past. Like, you know, if music doesn't work out, I can go work in a cafe or in an office. But... like, I've done that and it's so boring and that it's just monotonous. Just hate it. So I've decided that, well, it's not, it hasn't even really been a decision. It's just the other bits and pieces that have just been there to support me financially, I guess, on the way up and, you know, on my journey. They've just kind of fallen off, and music's always just been the thing that's stuck and that I've just kept on with. Tired tracks stretch from here to nights away. The smell of gas still hanging in the air. The dust and the truth are setting in. You're gone and you're not coming back.
Like, your journey as an artist and who you've become and as a songwriter, what is or what has been your goal and your journey into what sort of music you're putting out there, and what is Rachel in your music that your fans can recognise?
At the moment, it's really interesting because half the songs I've released have been songs that I've written, and the other half have been songs by other songwriters that have been pitched and I've accepted. So as far as the story, you know, of my journey and that side of things, it is really interesting to look back at the songs that I've released, because although I haven't written them, they do tell a bit of a story about where I have been, you know, in relationships or in life. So it is really interesting looking at the songs that I've released and seeing a bit of a pattern with, like, breakup songs, for example, which is something that I've noticed I do tend to gravitate towards because I'm single mm-hmm. and okay. I have had my heart broken and I've been through, you know, some really, I'm going to say traumatic relationships because, I don't know, I feel like I've gone through a bit of a hard time with most of them, which is why I'm still yeah. single. But
can you give us an example, like what happened in those, like what made it so traumatic?
Yeah, there was one guy I dated was very verbally abusive and I left that relationship. I ended it, so I was really proud of myself for doing that. But the songs that I wrote and released after that relationship definitely tell a bit of a story, whether I've written them or not. Hopefully, like when people listen to the songs that I release, I don't know, I feel like heartbreak is such a, it's such a relatable thing. And I've kind of put myself up for being, I guess, that artist that always releases the heartbreak stuff, in my opinion anyway. I'm like, do I want to keep Taylor on this Swift. Path? Yes.
Yeah.
Should I maybe change paths? So big decisions to make. But that's currently where I'm at right now. And I think it's really important that the songs I'm releasing reflect the journey I'm on.
Yeah, and I'm sure that once you meet, you know, Mr. Right or Mrs. Yes. Right or whatever.
Mr. Right that, me.
okay. That, you know, your songs will evolve at that stage. And obviously you see that with other artists, they, you know, fall in love and get married and their albums and their music at that time in their life reflect that. And then they have a child and or they become a parent or something like that and their music reflects that. And it's interesting and so beautiful to see someone's life evolved through their music, and that's absolutely beautiful.
I agree.
That's what we relate to.
Yeah, there's been so many artists that I've been listening to, like Maddie Atay, Dan O'Shea, like both great country artists in the US, and watching them move on with their lives and see how their music's changed. Because I followed them both from the beginning of their country careers. Awesome. So, yeah, hopefully people can follow mine and relate to any future songs about happiness and love that I release, as well as the ones that I'm currently doing.
Well, yeah, we hope that does come down the track as well.
Totally. Well, hopefully one day.
Okay. So what's been your experience? Because I know that you won the Toyota Star Maker in 2017 and you do the Southbound project. Is that something that you're going to continue sort of pushing forward in the future, or what are your goals for the future of your musical and songwriting life?
I think for me, it's always been about my solo career. So it's always been about Rachel Farhim and what's going on in that area of my career. Mm-hmm. Southbound Project was a side project and it's been great because we've had so much success with our first couple of singles. We've had, I think, 2 number ones, maybe 3. Can't really remember off the top of my head. And, you know, we've conquered some really great goals, like we've got some great achievements. But I think in the end, my goal and my priority has always been the Rach thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, love it. It's great to be able to focus on multiple different things at once, but Rach is number one.
Yeah. It's definitely a good experience to work with other people and to collaborate as well and see what you can do and what you can learn from those experiences. And some people work better in a team or a band or with a group, and other people are quite okay with being individual, and it's great that you can do both. I think that's really good.
Thank you. Yes, it's pretty awesome.
What have you done much co-writing?
I have, yes. I've been really trying to delve more into it at the moment, and I hate saying this other dreaded C word, but like it's just, it's so hard to stay motivated right now. I've been really, really, really trying to do a lot more co-writing. It's a thing.
Yeah. Is it because, is the motivation because of the current lockdown or?
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I struggle on Zoom. I just feel like there's no vibe and I don't know. I like to be able to really be in the moment and bounce ideas off people while I'm sitting next to them. I was talking to another artist the other week, and this artist is really successful, and he was saying that songwriting sessions kind of almost need to talk over each other. it's a very crazy environment, and it can't do the same thing on Zoom. At the moment I haven't really been doing too many co-writes, but over the last year I attended a camp in January and wrote my next single, which is, if I can say so myself, it's probably my best single yet. I'm so excited to get this one out. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's That's got exciting. Such a cool vibe. But yeah,
so that was co-written?
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Cool. What's it called?
It's called Darts in the Dark. Yes, Darts in the Dark.
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds, edgy.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that was co-written?
It was.
At the camp?
Yeah, it was called Country Goes Pop at the camp in January.
Cool.
It was such an awesome, awesome week.
Where was that held?
It was in Sydney at Ralph Street Studios.
Okay.
Whereabouts are you based? I actually don't know.
I'm in the Gold Coast.
Oh, awesome. Okay, yeah, cool.
Originally from Victoria, but good place to be at the moment, Queensland.
Definitely, yes. Can I come join you?
Anytime.
Yeah, so it's in Sydney. But we had a bunch of artists come down from Queensland because there's a lot of great talented writers there and all over Australia, actually.
Yeah.
So, yes, the song was written there. And then I've just from that, because I made so many connections, I just tried to stay in touch with everyone. And I really wanted to get to Melbourne and do some writing there, but cannot go. Such a downer.
No, that's fine. It is hard, and it's hard to adapt because I really like that energy in the room as well. I don't know if you've been to Nashville or if you know you've been to even Tamworth or any sort of retreats and things where you get to be in the room with people and you know people have got guitars and paper, and I even like putting pen to paper. Like, I'm so old school that way.
Yeah.
But I have been learning to adjust, and I think with the whole online thing, I have been noticing my most successful two ways to co-write online with someone is one, to either do it bit by bit. So like do a Google Docs, I'll spend some time on it, then I'll shoot it off to them and like let them see what they do and then shoot it back and go back and forth that way. Or we actually have like a backing track that we write to. So this one professional writer from Nashville, he had three tracks that we wouldn't be able to use but we could write to and then get the tracks redone for a demo. And that way we could all listen to the track and we wrote to that, just top lined it. And that was easy because then you didn't have to have a guitar, you know? So, I mean.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably the smarter way to do it, because the other day I kind of did a similar thing. And it's funny that you say that now, because I'm like, that's kind of what I did. I was doing a writing session last Friday, and the guy that I was writing with, he had a track sent to him from another producer. Mm-hmm. So we all had the track on, you know, our phones, we were on our computers, like doing FaceTime.
Yeah.
And anytime we had an idea, we just mute ourselves and use the phone and listen to the track. So I can see how that would work, but it's just hard maybe getting the track sorted before you write, because that's part of the fun as well. So I guess there's many different ways you can do it.
Yeah, it just depends on, I guess, what you've got available and what your skill set is and what your strengths are. Like if you're the co-writer that usually always plays the guitar and comes up with the riffs and the melodies, that's probably not going to work for you.
I'm more a lyric person.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm actually usually more the melody person. But even harmonizing to someone else's, like if someone gives me I can top line as well.
Yeah.
But I like coming up with the hooks and the melody and the idea for the song as well.
I love that. That's awesome.
Having that storyline. Anyway, all right, what's the best advice that you've ever been given in this industry?
Oh, that is a good question. So I was told this piece of advice years ago, and it's just kind of stuck with me, and now it's the piece of advice that I give out to people. And when they ask me, what piece of advice would you give out? I guess the piece of advice is to always trust your gut and trust yourself, whether that be, you know, in a management situation or a legal situation or a songwriting situation, like any type of situation where you find yourself questioning, what should I do? Just like listen to your gut, because 99.99999% of the time you are correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've definitely learned to listen to that little voice in the back of my head that is like, this looks slimy, steer clear. Yeah. Into my car and chase you down. Well, honestly, I don't know what to do. Still can't wrap my head around the fact that I lost you. And it all
see pretty lights. No, I didn't even see pretty lights. That's a really good thing to do, and that's not easy.
It's I think really not.
As women, especially, I don't know about you, but that took me a long time to learn that it's okay to listen to my own body.
Yeah.
And like, even if there's no logical reason as to why you feel that way, it's like everything looks right on paper, everything feels right, but sometimes you just have to follow your gut even if you don't know why.
Yeah, totally. And that piece of advice, I guess, could go into any aspect of your life. But I do see what you mean. As a female, like if I was to listen to my gut and say no to a, you know, a situation, I always get worried about the labels that could get thrown my way, like, oh, she's being a diva, or like, oh, she's being this, or oh, she's being... I'm like, can't I make a decision and not be name-called? You know what I mean?
Well, and that's a good point. And I don't know if that is actually possible, because you could be the most... Honestly, you could be the most perfect person in the world, and even that would trigger people because you're too perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, there is... And this is kind of a mental health thing that I've definitely looked into and I like to discuss. But the reality is, you're never going to make everyone happy. And whatever you present to the world is like a big mirror for most people as an artist. And so whatever you present is going to shine back, and they're going to see the things that people are insecure about. And, you know, us women, we're so insecure.
We are.
And so we focus, and we tend to focus on the things that we're insecure about in other people.
That's true.
You know, that name calling will happen, and it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
It'll happen. And so that's when it's like, well, actually, if that's going to happen no matter what I do, then maybe you should just
do
follow
it.
Your own gut and do what makes you feel good.
That's very true. I do like that. That's food for thought.
It's hard though.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a big Warren hole to go down if you're worried about what other people think about you, especially in this industry, because, you know, everyone will let you know what they think of you.
Yeah. You've got to have such a thick skin. And like, I feel kind of thankful, because in high school I was given a hell of a time. Like, I ended up leaving at the end of year 11. Because I was just, I was just not diagnosed, but I was very depressed. So, you know, all the girls in high school that picked on me and, you know, would make me feel like absolute poop have really, I guess, contributed to me having a thick skin, which is now exactly what I need to be in this industry. And, you know, I've been going through some really tough times lately. And, you know, my mom actually said to me, she's like, Rach, what I've noticed is every time something knocks you down, you spend like, you know, a couple of days, maybe max a week, really like mopey and sad. And like, you know, you look upset, but then as soon as it's over and you've come to terms with it and you've let all the sadness out, she's like, you flick a switch and you come back stronger and better than ever. I was like, thanks, mom. But like, I feel like that's what you kind of need to be able to do in this industry. Like, you need to be able to bounce back, and you need to be able to dwell in your sadness for a little bit and then be like, you know what? I am not going to do this anymore. I'm going to push forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And write a song about it.
Exactly.
Feel those emotions. It's such the gold that, you know, we need for our songs. But I think that's beautiful, and it shows how resilient and strong you really are in those moments, you know, because we all suffer and we all struggle. And it takes a lot of courage and bravery to admit it and be aware of it and to actually deal with it rather than just suppressing it. And I'm really glad to hear that, you know, you actually allow yourself that space to process.
And
I'm sorry that you had such a hard time in high school.
Thank you.
I mean, I can definitely relate. I did not have a great time in high school.
Oh, I feel like everyone had, you know, kids are just nasty. I'm sorry to hear that for you too, but like, my goodness, kids are horrible.
Well, they're a reflection of what they have at home, aren't they? I mean, I've got three kids and I'm so aware of it, and it's like, wow, like even primary school or high school, it literally is just a like exacerbation of what is going on in society. And kids just want to mimic all the adults and what they see around them. And it just gets like played out on a huge level. And it's like, whoa, that is what's going on in society. And now our children have to live with it in school. Some things are getting better. But there's always something, and it is learning to work with each other. And there's always going to be someone that rubs you the wrong way, and you just got to try your best and be kind and compassionate.
Exactly right.
to yourself and other people, which sometimes being compassionate to yourself is the hardest.
Yeah.
What would you say is like the worst advice you've ever been given?
Oh, the first thing that springs to mind, it wasn't really a piece of advice. It was more just like I was in a situation and, you know, I didn't particularly want to do something. It was like a photo shoot and I didn't want to dress a certain way that this person was telling me. It wasn't like inappropriate way. It was just like not my vibe kind of photo shoot. And I said no. And the person who was running the photo shoot was like, you need to say yes more. You need to be a yes girl. Like, no, whoa. I do not. Nope, nope, nope.
That never. Sounds like someone who's just frustrated. Yeah, you need to say yes more.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know if that was a piece of advice that they were trying to give me, but I definitely did not take that on and I'm not a yes girl.
Yeah, you're a I follow my gut and do what feels right girl.
We're seeing a real pattern here, aren't we?
Yeah, no, and I'm glad to hear it. You sound like a very strong person and you need, like, yeah, you. It's unfortunate, but you never know how resilient you can be and how strong you are until you have to be.
Exactly right.
And that usually means that you don't get that confidence of knowing how strong you are until you've been through something where you have to be strong.
Been through the ringer. For sure.
Yeah. So no, that it sucks, but well done.
Thank you.
Talking about kids and high school and lots of stuff, if you could go back in time and give yourself a piece of advice, say when you were in high school, what would you say?
I would probably that's another good question. You're stopping me today with all the good questions. I think if I was to go back to myself in high school, I would probably tell myself to not focus on what other people are doing. And it's probably even a piece of advice that I could still give myself now because it's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing. But, you know, I used to look at what the other girls were wearing and I'd want what they had. And then I'd used to, you know, I guess try and be something that I wasn't, possibly. I think looking back now, like in high school, all you want to do is fit in. Yeah. And that's not really important. Like you just, I don't know, need to just be yourself. Yeah.
It's not important. Fitting has never been important. And yet we all desperately feel a feeling of belonging and having a sense of purpose and like you're needed and seen and validated. Everyone needs that. But to fit in, I mean, no one even really knows what that means. What are you fitting into? You're not a peg going into a hole, you know, like you're a human being.
Exactly.
And we need variety, we need diversity, and we need people with different skills to survive in our society. And so
definitely.
Yeah, it's funny because we all feel like that in primary school, high school. We want to feel normal.
Exactly. It's so odd because, you know, you leave school and then like it doesn't matter anymore. And that's something my mom would always say to me. She would always be like, once you leave school, none of this will matter. And I'd be like, I don't understand. But like, I think that is really important. Like if I was to go back and give myself a piece of advice, I think that's the most important thing. Like,
just be like, hello, Rachel. It's Rachel from the future. I have some advice for you.
If only. Mom comes through with a lot of great advice. And I'm sure this is something that a lot of other people say as well, but you can't put an old head on young shoulders.
Oh, that is good advice.
Yeah. That would be a constant piece of advice. Or it's not really advice. It'd be a thing my mum would always say.
It's a statement. And it's a good thing. It's like some things just come with experience and that is just a fact of life. But, you know, I think especially as an older person, sometimes I wish, you know, you could put an older head on younger shoulders, but then they wouldn't be young, would they?
So, yeah, exactly.
And, just let people be where they are at when they're at that stage in their life, wherever it is, and just love them. That's all we can do. Just like we love babies, it's like we don't judge them for pooping in their nappies and sleeping all the time, do we? We just love them for being babies. Let's just love people that way.
I love that. That's great.
Okay. Last particular question, more to do with your inspirations. Mm-hmm. If you could co-write a song with anyone in the world, living or dead, who would it be and why?
This is a really interesting one because I love like older music. And it's really hard to choose between some of my old loves and my new loves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would have to say John Denver. I love John Denver. And I think that's mainly just because my dad and I always listen to it together. So I feel like there's a little connection there. But I think he was just such a great artist and his songs just really spoke to me. And I would just really love to just write with him. It wouldn't have to be a song that we'd sing or release, you know, like it would just be really interesting to get an insight into how he did things, you know?
Yeah, cool. And I think that's a really good way to go into it. It's just, I think I've been like learning a lot about just being around people who have similar mindsets and are successful in what they do and are positive and kind. And I'm like, I just want to be around those people and just absorb their like energy.
Yeah.
So that's really
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what have you got? You said you've got a single coming up. Have you got much else planned for this year that you can share with us?
Well, apart from the single, not too much else has popped up. I'm working on a bit of a schedule for next year at the moment. And
being in lockdown, it is hard to make any plans.
Yes, I know. I hate bringing it up because like it's so annoying, but it is so hard to make any plans right now. And any gigs that I did have, I was supposed to have one at the beginning of this month, about a week and a half ago. Ish.
Where was that?
It was in Sydney. It was a support spot for one of my friends and that got cancelled. And bummer. Any gigs that I've had in the next maybe 2 months have also been cancelled. So try not to dwell.
Festivals are going down. Yeah.
So at the moment I'm really focusing on next year. So I've got a couple of things in the pipeline, like a few festivals, and I really want to try and hit the road and do my own tour, because I haven't done a solo tour yet. So hopefully that's something that I could work on and get out, but at the moment,
would you do that with a band or would you do it like just acoustic?
I'd probably do it with my band, get the band back together and hopefully all remember the songs after not playing them for so long. At the moment though, just focusing on just getting this next single out and, you know, jumping in any room to write when I can, when it's allowed.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank
cool.
you.
So just keep writing and do your thing.
Yeah, focusing on socials, try to get that content out.
Stay with us online, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Just do something that's going to make you feel happy though, you know.
Yes.
And it's okay. Like there really is no rush with that. I'm a big believer that things always happen at the right time. And in my experience, when I've forced things or I've really pushed things, I don't know, it's not that it doesn't work out. Sometimes it does, but it always feels better when it just kind of flows.
Yeah.
which is beautiful. So is there anything else you would like to share? You've got the floor, you've got the podcast. What would you like to say before we finish up?
I don't know. I feel like you've asked some really great questions and I've really enjoyed talking to you. So I feel like I don't have anything more to add. So thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I'm going to put the links to your socials so we can keep up with that content and check out your new single. And so people can go and look at your music, and we'll chuck in some snippets of your singles as well. In the podcast so people can get a bit of a teaser.
Amazing.
We'll encourage them to go and check you out, and we'll keep following you and keep up to date with everything that you're doing, and hope to see you live on that solo tour very soon.
Well, hopefully I can come visit you in Queensland when I do a show there. When? We're saying when.
Yeah, when you do, I'll come support you. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.